Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Ka'Chava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
They traded me illegally. You're supposed to stay here, get a fix, and make your pay. They traded me. They went like this. By the time they paid me, it was 2 or 3 years later, I lost everything. Okay? So when you're talking about, listen, when you're talking about effect, and this kid who just said it's business, okay, who wants what?
Cook,
15 million dollars, you know? It is business. We weren't allowed to do business. We couldn't do business. So this is where the nice stuff, okay, and the smiles and all that disappear.
This episode of Nuff Said with Bob Kuczynski is sponsored by Chef's Famous Italian Restaurant, home of the Spaghetti Parm and located at 291 Seneca Street in Buffalo. It's time now for Nuff Said with your host, Bob Kuczynski. The topic, the Buffalo Bills. And Bob's guest is a former member of the Bills, the original number 89, Lou Piccone.
Episode number 2, Nuff Said with yours truly. And we're here, I have to mention this, because we're at the beautiful French Connection room at Chef's Restaurant, Chef's Famous Italian Restaurant, which is our sponsor. And Louis Billetiere and Mary Beth, they do a fantastic job. And our guests receive a gift certificate to Chef's, and they're put up for luncheon. And nobody's eaten here more than Lou Piccone, who is our guest today. And he just happens to be Italian in an Italian restaurant. And I'm half Italian.
That makes it three. So there's three Louis.
Yeah, that's right.
Louis. I met the father. I met the son. And now I'm here. So there, three Louis. It's a triple play.
And you're not the Holy Ghost yet.
No.
So.
I went to Catholic school, which gave me enough guilt to last a lifetime.
Lou, I wanted you on this podcast. Because, first of all, we've known each other over 40 years. I first met you at the executive, I think it was around 1980. You're hanging out with Danny Guerin, a bunch of pro athletes. The Shintas were there. I mean, it was just Monday nights was electric at the executive. And then I saw you at training camp, and there's a lot of stories. But anyway, before we get into Remember When, which I told everybody last week, I don't want this to just be a Remember When. I want to talk about the current Buffalo Bills, because everybody's talking about the current Buffalo Bills. They were just on Hard Knocks on HBO. I don't know if you have television in your house. I know earlier you referred to
it. I can't afford it.
Can't afford television. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about as a former NFL player. Everybody thinks NFL players are set for life.
Jeez.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So Josh Allen and the 2025 Buffalo Bills. Is this team capable of winning a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. They've got enough talent. But I'll tell you what my mantra, it's personal. You've heard the old adage, there ain't no I in team. Well, I come from an era where the only thing in team is I, because if I ain't there, it don't matter. That's the bubble, okay? Usually the talent, you know, the talent fits the situation, which means camp. You go to camp, they assess you, okay? And they either decide you're on the team or you're not, okay? So that's up to you. How good are you? How quickly can you get a system? And how good are you at employing it? Now, Josh Allen, he's a phenom, okay? He can take the team on his back and make something out of nothing, okay? Because he's got that kind of athletic ability. He can move well. He's got the arm. He's a very, very imposing figure. I mean, I met him a number of years when he first came here at the Kelly tournament playing golf. And, you know, I don't stack up to his waist, you know. I mean, he's a big guy.
One of the best you've ever seen?
I think all around, you know, athletic ability and so forth, making, can extend the play. Yes.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Oh yeah, I think so. I just think he's got, you know, he's got to get there. So you got to give him a little more time before he retires.
It's hard to believe he's been here for 8 years.
I don't believe it. I mean, you know, I don't recognize that number, 8 years. He seems like he comes back and it's like his second or third year, because they talk about him, you know, as if he's, you know, as if he is the man, okay? And if you're the man, you should have won it before, okay? So there's been a lot of talk.
Well, so let's compare him to Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback, he had a much greater surrounding cast than Josh Allen, still to this day, right?
Well, yes, and I think the ability to play the game at this level, okay, with that much efficiency, to get it done, to go to the Super Bowl four times, okay, and well, so what happened? Okay, well, you know, that's up for discussion. All right, what happened? But somewhere along that line, they should have won it, you know. So we're in that same juncture. The curse. I mean, you know, do you believe in curses? I don't believe in curses. That's why it's personal. Everybody's got to get up and do their job, right? Understand it, understand what it is, what they have to do, and then perform it.
One of the big differences between Kelly and Allen is Kelly was already a finished product when he showed up for the Bills. I mean, he had two unbelievable years in the USFL, and he played big-time college football. I mean, Josh Allen was a junior college player for 2 years and played 2 years at Wyoming, and obviously was a work in progress when he got to Buffalo. But I can't remember a player who has improved as much in 3 years that Allen did. I mean, he went from somebody that everybody was questioning his accuracy, and you know, he plays too much hero ball and he's too much turnover prone. Now you watch the national media. I mean, they put him above Mahomes. A lot of people have already put him above Mahomes, and Mahomes has won, what, three Super Bowls?
Right. You know, like I said, it comes down to, it's personal, your surrounding cast. How well do you play it together, and how well do you know the system, and how well can you do your part? You got to, you know, like a receiver, you got to get separation, but you got to see what it is, what you're going against, you know. So if you got up to the line of scrimmage with 30 seconds and audible all the time, you would have the opportunity to scope it, figure it out, and employ it.
So for those who are under 80 years old and don't know who I'm talking to or who I am, so Lou, how many years did you play in the NFL?
10.
What were the years?
74 to 83.
Okay, so your story. Now, the reason why I have Lou Piccone, or Pick, as some guys used to call you, right?
To call me a lot of things.
Yeah, well.
Don't call me late for
this. This isn't on broadcast television, but let's not go into all of those names. Your story of getting into the NFL, I think, is as good, if not better, than Papaye, who they made a movie about, Invincible, from the Eagles. Because you played, what, West Liberty?
Papaye? Is that what you called him?
Yeah, with
Papali.
Oh, Papali.
I was getting Papali. Well, what is he, Hawaiian?
This was the Polish pronunciation. So you played for West Liberty College, right? You were running back.
Yeah.
Then you played what? What do you call it? Semi-pro ball?
Well, it's not what you call it. It's what it is.
You got paid to play.
No, I think I paid them. I'm really.
But my point is, that was a rough start. I mean, you got out of West Liberty. Explain the leagues you played in when you played what, in Youngstown and
Youngstown and Bridgeport, and you weren't supposed to see. There's you know, another underlying current of what that you can do and what you can't do. And at those days, you could not have an affiliation with a minor league football team. At least this is my understanding.
You're talking about the pro teams.
The pro teams couldn't. Okay,
they didn't want farm
to. But the farm system. But they have the hugest farm system in the world of the college,
right?
You know, the college.
Right.
Okay, so when I got done playing for West Liberty, which is outside of Wheeling, West Virginia, up on a hill, we went to the Nationals twice, and I was a big part of that. I was a running back at 163 pounds. Okay, triple option type guy, and we were nationally rated, okay, and we won our divisions and so forth. And then coming out of there, I asked my head coach, because it was always an anomaly as far as what's it take
to get to the pros.
And in my family, you know, both sides had a lot of athletes. I had an uncle who played for Notre Dame. Okay, Frank Leahy was the coach way back when. My father was a professional fighter. Okay, and so I grew up, but none of them went the distance. Okay, and recorded that. So in the back of my mind, I had it all around me. You know, so. What do you do? So you ask your head coach, and the Wheeling Ironman existed then, you know, a semi-pro team in Wheeling. And I knew some of the guys. I knew the quarterback, Klebeck. So I figured, well, you know, I'm going to find out. I'll go play semi-pro.
Because you weren't drafted.
No.
Right.
No, and then they folded. So that's my luck, okay? So they fold. I go home, I got a degree, I'm teaching school, I pick up, you got 5 years to play four in the NAIA. So I stayed, I finished a minor in speech, and then I went home. I'm teaching, I picked up a teaching gig at half year. And so I get a call, my mother answers it, right? And my father's semi-retired, and I get a call, and my mom goes, it's for you. And so I get on the phone. I said, hello. He says, this Lou Piccone. I said, yeah. Uh-huh. He says, the Lou Piccone to play for West Liberty. I said, yeah. Well, my name is George Rodak, and I want to find out if you want to play professional football. I said, who is this? You know, which one of my buddies, okay, is yanking my chain? And no, he said, I said, so who is this? He said, no, George Rodak. And I said, oh, really? Where is this pro football? He said, in Youngstown, Ohio, the Youngstown Hardhats. I said, look, I don't follow the game, okay? I'm just a player, but I know enough about it that there is no professional football team in Youngstown, Ohio. You mean semi-pro? He said, yeah. I said, okay, how much you paying? He said, $50 a ball game. I said, so you want me to leave South Jersey where I got a job, teaching school, 4 years of college, to go to Youngstown, Ohio for $50 a ball game? And he said, we're scouted. We're scouted heavily by Philly and all the teams on the East Coast. But so my heart started to rush because, you know, I always wanted to find out. And the only time you can do that is immediately when you're done. Okay, you're done one level, you either make the transition, can't let time pass. So anyway, my father's sitting there and he's listening, he's semi-retired. I said, I don't know, George, I'll call you back. Boom. Who was that? I told him. So what are they going to pay you? I told him. He goes, oh, geez, son. He says, you got your education, which is, you played college, you know, you did well. He said, you know, it's time to use your brains instead of your brawn. And then he looks at me and he says, and besides, you're too small. Now, my father's a light heavy, 5'7", he's a light heavyweight. He's fighting everybody back in those days, okay? And I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying to myself, oh, so who is this guy? You know, and I looked at him, and I was shocked. And I said to myself, I said, is that what you think? And I said to him, I said, is that what you think, Pop? And then it hit me. You say those words that seal your fate, and he's my hero. I didn't know it at the time, but he was my hero, okay? I looked at him and I said, well, we're just going to have to find out about that. 3 years later, every day of 3 years, working out, playing the semi-pro. I said, I called George back right away. told him, I said, George, this is Lou Piccone. I said, you have a workout program? He said, yes. I said, send it. When is your camp? He told me, and I said, I'll be there.
In hindsight, you think your dad said that for motivation, or do you?
Well,
think
that's the first thing that pops up, yeah. And I don't think so. I really don't.
He was probably looking out for you.
My dad and mom. I mean, look, I think if I didn't have the family values, if I didn't have my parents, I'd be dead. Okay,
right.
That's the risk taking element of growing up. Okay.
Okay. So I want to jump ahead here because how did you get a tryout for the Jets?
I wrote 28 teams because it was 28 teams.
After 1 year in Youngstown.
I wrote 28 teams. I got 26 replies. Don't call us, we'll call you. And don't remember, the strike was coming up. It was 73. The strike was coming up. And so what they wanted to do, they wanted to flood the zone, okay, with every free agent they could possibly find to put pressure on the guys coming in, you know. So that's what I did. So, you know, you got 250 guys on their lunch break from McDonald's over there trying out. How are they going to see anybody? So I went to Washington and I went to Philadelphia and New York was the last. So they had a chance, an opportunity to sift through things and pare it down. And so when I got there, by the time they got there, I knew what they were looking for. Okay. Flat out speed. Everything else doesn't matter. Just flat out speed. And then of course, if you could run that, well then now what can you do with it? And so it transitions and it translates into a player as by design.
So obviously you were undersized, although we can go through a dozen names of players right now in the NFL who are your size, who, because of speed, I mean, speed is the key.
Sure.
You can't fake speed. If you got the speed, they'll work around that and they'll figure out things that they can do with you because you're faster than most of the guys on the field.
Can he get there and get it done?
Right. So you start out, I mean, you were running back in college. When you get to the NFL, you were a very proficient kickoff return man, right? I mean, that's where they put you.
Well, it takes a few things. First of all, it takes speed. Okay, and if you're playing special teams, it takes cojones, okay? And you need a lobotomy, okay? Those are the three things that you need, and durability, okay? So, you know, I could bench 354, okay? I could squat 555, and I could run a 4.35 40, okay? Add it up.
You're one fast Italian.
One fast Italian.
I made
the sauce, okay? You know?
So you're with the Jets. Now, I know you've got, I know you got a couple of funny stories. Practice in particular where they would take you and they would stick you in on the scout team, like ridiculous positions against, like, tell the one story. I think they put you in a tight end in practice.
No, that wasn't in practice. This was
in a game. That's right. That's right. Okay. Tell the story.
Okay. So Lou Holtz is the head coach. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but he was a defensive end. And he got traded to Cleveland. Okay. And so the roster, the backup tight end got hurt. So they didn't have anybody else, okay? And the immediate thing is, oh, well, the Mikey of the NFL, it's me, okay? Give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything. Lou, and so Holtz comes over to me and he goes, listen, Lou, he said, you know, we've got to get ready, okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to put you in a tight end, you know. We'll get another tight end in here, but just for the time being. So the first thing that happens is that Richard Todd's the quarterback. He's also my roommate, okay? So he gets a quarterback. He gets under center, and I line up a tight end. And Winston Hill is next to me. Winston Hill is 6'6", 325, okay? So I break the huddle. I go in. I line up. And he starts calling the signals, and he goes, blue 23, blue 23. He comes up and he goes, timeout. He says, you want to get a tight end in here? Okay, because he couldn't see me. You know, so I gave him the biggest bird. It was on, caught on camera. I gave my quarterback the bird, you know. But
so he looks down the line. He doesn't see anybody behind that huge.
Yeah. So then in preseason, now the guy who, and it'll come to me, the guy who got, he got traded to Cleveland, and we had a preseason game in Cleveland. Okay. And so they didn't bring a tight end in. So on my game plan, I had written by Lou Holtz, I guess, Lou, we know we're asking you to do a lot, okay? But if we didn't think you could do it, we wouldn't ask you. And I'm saying, that's a BS.
Right.
That's a bunch of that. So anyway, that was it. So in the slot position, you end up being at, you know, the tight end, okay, so on a flex. And the fella who I can't remember his name, he lines up over me and he starts to laugh because it was a third down and they moved in close. Okay, both tight ends. So guess what? They're not going to run my side. All right. And he's looking at me and he's laughing and he's a preacher. He never said two words to me when he was with the Jets. So I break the huddle, I come out, and I line up next to the guard, to the tackle. And he starts laughing. Billy Newsom, okay, there you go. He starts laughing. And I looked at him, and I gave him every four-letter expletive I possibly could prior to the snap of the ball.
Right.
So now they snap the ball. I come off, I get up into his legs right away. And I'm grabbing him. He's trying to step out. And he points at me. He goes, he's holding me. Look at the ref. He's holding me. He's holding me. The referee comes over. He goes to throw his flag. And he stops. And he looks at Billy and he says, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He looked at him and looked at me. Saw the disparity. He said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know.
Okay, so you're with the Jets. And I know we've talked earlier. And you said, I think it was maybe your last year with the Jets, and you guys only won three games, but two of them were against the Bills.
Yeah.
So when you got traded to the Bills, you were like, the Bills, that was the team that was basically made up our highlight film for the Jets, right?
That's right. Yeah. And the last game that I remembered, it rained, it sleeted, it snowed. The temperature went from 68 to 28 in the span of 2 hours. I was freezing.
In Buffalo. The game was in Buffalo.
It was in Buffalo, okay? And you were standing in about 6 inches of water because the drainage had backed up. And I'm saying, and I'm just, tough day. I was freezing. The wind was 70 miles an hour gusts. Not a pass was caught the whole day, I don't think. I'm getting it. I'm walking. After the game, I'm walking into the tunnel. And I looked up and I said, God. Don't ever let me be traded to Buffalo. So you got to be careful what you wish for.
Right. So you get traded to the Bills. What did the Bills give up in exchange?
I think a ball boy. I'm not really sure. I think it was a couple of draft choices. It was a mid round and a round.
But obviously the Bills saw something in you that they wanted you, right?
Well, Jim Ringo was a transition coach then, okay? And the reason to help shore up special teams, okay? I hadn't established myself as a wide receiver,
right,
so to speak, but I did a hell of a lot with the special teams. And that Lou, remember when they used to say, right, cheer my name?
They weren't booing, they were saying Lou, right?
Cosell said, they're not booing, they're looing, okay? But really, you can't buy that, Bob. You know, you've got to earn that.
There's not a lot of fives. I know it says
five.
Say
5'7".
I think, I've stood next to you. I think you're closer to five, but that's whatever. If it's in the program, it must be true.
Yeah.
Right? It must be
absolutely,
true.
Absolutely, yeah.
But there's not a lot of 5'9 Italian players in the NFL, and there are Italians in the stands, so you became somewhat of an ethnic fan favorite, not just in the, well, especially downstate.
Ethnicity had nothing to do with it.
Oh,
okay.
You did have ability. Yeah.
Let
me tell you something.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Let's straighten this
go
out.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My position was everybody's. Okay. I'm an everybody. I played nine positions. okay, for what I played for.
Right.
Okay. Now you got me up. Okay.
But even if you were the ball boy and you were Italian, downstate they'd be cheering the kid on the sidelines. So anyway,
they don't cheer. Listen, you don't do your job, you're out.
Right.
Here.
You're out. So you come to Buffalo, and you once told me the first thing you had to do, you were totally displaced. You're unhappy. So what does a good Italian boy need? You need a plate of pasta. Now we're at Chef's famous Italian restaurant, but we also have a great paisan in Blaisdell.
Right.
DiPaolo's restaurant. Somehow you stumbled into Ilio DiPaolo's restaurant for a plate of spaghetti.
Well, when they bring you in, they put you up at the Mile Strip Hotel or whatever it was on exit. They had an exit for it. Okay. So, and I'm with a guy, Connie Zelinchik, who was just traded from Chicago, who, by the way, we ended up being roommates in Canada with Derek Sanderson's house, but that's another story. So I said, look, I said, I want some pasta, man. You know, I asked the person, I eat sauce. They said, oh yeah, well just go down to Ilio DiPaolo's. Then I said, Ilio DiPaolo's, but give me more. Okay. He said, go walk over. It's a walking distance. Walk over, take a right, and you'll see a big sign. He's a big wrestler. He's a wrestler, former right. wrestler. So Connie and I, we walk over there. I walk in the door, and I walk in, and Connie's 6'5". And I'm over here at 5'9". And Ilio is at the door because he welcomes people. You know, I mean, and he's a big guy.
He was a massive man.
6'3", 285. And I walked in and he walked in and Connie was with me. And he goes, hey, boys, come on in. He says, you look like football players. You look like a football player. And he says, and he talks to Connie. Yeah, he says, yeah, we just got here. And he says, and what do you do? As I'm a football player too. Now, I'm not in a real good mood, okay? You know, and so as I'm a football player too. He goes, oh, you must be that Piccone kid we just got in. He said, come on in, boys. And he put his hand out to shake my hand. And he bypassed my hand and put it on my back. It covered my entire back.
Huge.
Okay. Well, that was the first incident, the first meeting. And of course, you know, I was a regular there as much as
like so many of your teammates.
So many of them. Yeah.
Okay. You've got so many great stories, but I want to make this watchable and not be a 5-hour podcast because I know your story and it's incredible to me because you are absolutely the Rocky of this story. So, but you get to the Bills, and yeah, the Bills were bad when you played against them, but they bring in Chuck Knox. They get rid of Simpson. They bring in Chuck Knox. They had a good quarterback in Joe Ferguson. They had a good defense, and that was one of the better Buffalo Bills teams. You had the ability to play on a team that went to the playoffs. It was a good team. That was not one of the down times for the Buffalo Bills. That was – they made the playoffs.
77 wasn't the year. 78 when Knox came
right.
in, they turned it. We won
right.
we won the last six in a row, I think, or was that with the Jets? I'm not really sure. I can't remember. But Knox set the stage, and he was setting the team.
Well, you had Smirlis and you had Hazlitt.
Yep.
And you had the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
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 Nelson. For Joe Cribbs was a running back.
Right.
And Bobby Chandler was a wide receiver with you. Great receiver.
Bobby was, I was coming here. They were asking me to do all the special teams, and they were also asking me to play receiver, okay, to back it up. So I didn't, and I knew that I was going to have to make that transition when I played in the minor leagues, okay?
Right.
So I made that transition, and to understand it, there's five positions. Okay, X, Y, Z, half a fullback, and you got to know them all. That was my responsibility, and you put it in the game plan and do the math. You got, let's say, 60 pass plays. You multiply that by five, and then you multiply that by three or four because you got all the different option routes.
Right.
You got to. So I might as well. I have to be the quarterback. I have to look at it like that. I don't know anybody else that had that responsibility. And I asked my coach at one time when we were playing Cincinnati. Okay, I say, Coach, who am I? And I was also reflecting on my contract because I wasn't getting paid like these guys were getting paid. And I said, who am I this week? He looked at me and he said, just be ready.
You love coaches, right? Because they're not.
Yeah, just be ready.
Okay. So I'm, well, first off, I have to say, so I wasn't working at Channel 7 yet. I was working for a cable system in Niagara Falls, and I talked them into letting us go out to Bill's training camp for, because I just started some sports show. And I was a nobody. I mean, I had a little microphone, didn't even have a mic flag on it, didn't represent anybody. But this was at Fredonia. Everybody's walking off the field. I interviewed Smurlis, a couple other guys. And of course, wisely, I interviewed Rick Azar, which paid off down the road because he remembered me. But I grabbed you. We talked. And the funny thing is, now I, anybody who knows me knows I'm half Italian. My mom was Italian, family 14. And I was basically raised as much Italian as I was Polish. My dad was Polish, obviously. So we start playing Muda, the Italian finger game. At training camp, you and I played a point. People watching this right now, I have video still, and they're seeing this. And I remember you were like, who is this guy? And why are we doing this? But anyway, so we had fun. One of the highlights, and you talked about this, how life works, how your life could have turned. Playoff Cincinnati Bengals, 1982. It's a long third down. You're down by six. Late in the game, the Bills are driving what could have been the go-ahead winning touchdown. You make a clutch catch on third down. Penalty flag. Delay a game. If that play stands and you guys go in to score and go to... I think the next week they played. Who did they play the next week? The Chargers, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was that frozen, really
San
cold
San Francisco
in the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl
would have been.
But your Bills were that close. How would your life have been different if that play stands?
That changes absolutely everything. Basically because the year before I did it in San Diego. Okay, I made the crucial catch. So you're talking about a spot check player that has to, and my job, why do you think 80,000 people said, Lou, why do you think? Because every time I was in that position, I performed. I was successful. You can't, if you put it on the ground, you're out. And Fergie knew it because nobody covered me one-on-one. I'm sorry, you're out. I know what I can do, okay? And you can't stop me. Period.
One thing I have to bring up, because last night I looked at some video, a couple of your plays on YouTube. Your shoulder pads were like wings. I mean, you had to be wearing lineman shoulder pads. Why were your shoulder pads so big?
No, they weren't big. They were small.
Oh.
No, you have to. No, that's just my shoulders. You have to understand.
Get the hell out of here.
Wait a minute. You have to understand. You don't see. This is where you don't really. You're pulling. Oh. What do you know? Okay. They had to take the receiver pads, take the cantilever out over the acromion process because I
have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well, I got to get my hands over my head.
Okay.
Okay. Those pads, they hit my helmet right about there, and I can't get.
So what'd they do? They stripped something out.
They took that bar. Okay. They took that bar out. So I was really suspicious.
So that's why they were flapping around.
Yeah, that's why they were flapping around.
All right, fix your mic back for a second. I don't want to lose anything. Yep, I need these tidbits of greatness.
Yes.
So here's one other instance where our paths cross. So you're in your last summer camp with the Bills. You get traded. Who'd you get traded to from Buffalo?
San Diego,
ironically. I'm brand new at WKBW-TV. I'm part-time, nighttime producer, but they thrilled the hell out of me, and they gave me a pass to go to the Bills games and do locker room interviews. So I'm in there, and I think it may have been my first time in the Bills locker room. And I'm, you know, I got a Channel 7 professional cameraman, so he's kind of steering me around. And I'm just about done, and I look, and there you are sitting by yourself on the bench, nobody around you. And I know who you are, obviously. I mean, but I had a sense of familiarity because I had interviewed you once at training camp before I had any position. And I remember you from the executive running into you there on a Monday night. And we may have had a beverage. I'm not sure.
The loop of Conehead.
Yeah. So anyway, I walk over and I ask you a couple. You didn't even, I don't think you even played in the game. I think you were like, you know, it was a preseason game. You didn't play. And I came over and I asked you a couple of questions because you were available and I wanted to do good. So I, a couple of generic questions, and you had a gift for gab and you gave me a couple of good answers. And I head back to Channel 7. Clip Smith, people out there remember Clip Smith, was doing the weekend sports. And I'm in there editing for the 11 o'clock sports because, you know, the game was, well, it might have been the same, whatever. I'm in there editing and Clip pokes his head in. He goes, "Hey, they just traded Lou Piccone. Do we have any video of Lou Piccone?" I said, "I interviewed him." "So you're kidding me. Like, why would you interview him, right? You didn't play." "I don't know. I interviewed him." And now you didn't say anything because at the time I interviewed you, you had no idea you were about to get traded, which is life in the NFL. But we had a couple quick sound bites. And I just thought that was kind of weird the way that worked out. And then, of course, our paths crossed 1,000 times after that. But you get traded. And then what? You don't pass the physical?
I had both my Achilles done. Okay. And I came back from that. But I was also a player rep and executive committee member for the union. And they were talking about strike. All right. And nobody really understands the trauma associated with a lifetime, which ends up being a lifetime effort. Okay. Once in a lifetime, you do this and you played, you're everything you got. Okay. And they do something that was totally illegal. Now, you have to understand, I was invested here. I had a land development, okay? And this is, now we're talking the financial stuff, okay? And there's a transition, and it all makes, this is where it gets tough for me to really talk and smile with you, okay? Because it was dramatic, it changed my life. All of a sudden, I'm in an entirely different echelon, and deal with it.
So you get traded, but you never play for the Chargers.
Never played for the Chargers, because if I got hurt, they got to pick it up. And bottom line was, I was getting douched out of the system.
Because of your union representation?
Illegal. They traded me illegally. You're supposed to stay here, get a fix, and make your pay. They traded me. They went like this. By the time they paid me, it was 2 to 3 years later, I lost everything. Okay? So when you're talking about, listen, when you're talking about effect, and this kid who just said it's business, okay, who wants what?
Cook,
$15 million, you know, it is business. We weren't allowed to do business. We couldn't do business. So this is where the nice stuff, okay, and the smiles and all that disappear.
So this is one of the big reasons why I wanted you here. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I think many people think anybody who plays in the NFL, they've got it made for life. Now, you played in a different time. And even Jim Kelly, and when he signed with the Buffalo Bills, was the biggest contract in the history of the league, $7 million. That's nothing today. I mean, that's even if you do an inflation calculation, it's not even close to what they're paying quarterback. But you played at a different time. But when you were done with the NFL, you're right. You had a business you were trying. I mean, you were planning for the future.
I was transitioning, Bob.
Right.
I knew because I had seen it, because I was a player rep and an exec. My father told me, "Hey, you don't like it." And my father was my hero, and so was my mother. "Hey, you don't like it? Change it. And if you don't want to change it, don't bitch, period." And that was embedded in my what I was doing. And I challenged it 3 times, Bob. And I found out what the option clause was, how it was illegal, okay, and how they had to deal with it in Supreme Court, which took another 10 years. Okay, so what we're talking about now is the current players that are still alive, pre-93, have we made up any of the deficit which we fought for, which these young guys today just don't get it? Okay, they don't understand where it comes. Where'd the money come from?
Well, youth never does.
Well, but
youth
never. I'm just saying.
So you eventually got something, right? You eventually got a settlement from the league or from the Bills?
I didn't get nothing. Bottom line is, I got a settlement. Yeah. But I didn't get nothing because I had to walk away. See?
I walked away.
What do you mean you walked away?
The land development. I couldn't support it. This took 3 years to do that.
Right. But you did get some.
Wait a minute. I'm all in. Okay?
On the land development.
I got 500 acres and I'm a logger. I go from special teams and breaking wedges and flying around like a crazy guy to something where you get hurt to something where you get dead. You make a mistake. All right? So it changed my life, and this is where I got to stop because there's an anger point, okay? And I really don't want to talk about it. So it changed it. I had to move. I moved to Syracuse. I got out. I had friends who came. At least I got a job, okay, and moved on.
But it was a dark time.
Oh, dark. It was dark for you. Bob, we can't go there. We can't go there, okay? So, you know, as far as the, I don't let it, I you can't let it, you know, shadow your entire life, you know. But it was really a very tough time. They don't care. They don't care. There's another guy right behind you.
Yeah.
Okay. So all those lose, that's the reason I played. Wasn't for the money, because I made $19,000 after 2 years in the minor leagues, and they knew it. $19,000. I made $12,900 in my second year, okay, because I played out my option. The base minus all incentives and fines for playing out my option.
In what? In semi-pro or in the, or
to the
Jets?
Pros.
With the Jets?
Yeah.
So your story, I mean, there's so many people that said they would trade. I'm sure that, well, I would trade places because I want to play in the NFL. It's not the fairy tale that everybody thinks it is.
Well, depending on when you play.
Right.
Today, it's a fairy tale, okay? The rules have been changed, you know, and God bless them. You know, if you can make that kind of money, God bless you. But take a look, get 180-degree vision. Take a look what was behind you and who got you there.
Right.
Okay? Because we ain't getting it now. Period. You made all those junks.
So I want to wrap this up. You were honored a couple of years ago. They named a street after you in your hometown.
Oh, in Jersey.
Yeah. That was cool.
Well, you know, the satisfaction, it's personal. I made my parents so very, very happy. They enjoyed my career. I made a lot of people happy. As far as my play was concerned, you know, those lose, you can't buy that. You got to earn that. Lou will turn to boo. You start putting it on the ground or not doing
right.
What you're doing. You know, so I'm very fortunate to be able to. And for everybody out there listen, you know, football is a sport. And for every sport that you play, you inherit a gene, I think. Okay. What hard work is. And that's the key is work hard. You know, for every kid out there who is afraid to try, work hard, make it your passion. It's a love, not work. And by the time when you'll understand that it's capable. You're capable of doing it. You know, if you work hard and you understand your abilities. You know.
And the cherry on the sundae is you married a beautiful girl from my hometown of Niagara Falls.
Oh, that's right. My lovely wife Joanne and I. You know, we've lived here in Williamsville for our life together, you know, and so I got lucky, babe. I hit the jackpot. So, you know, as much as you lose on one end and you pick it up on the other.
You said you're working on a book.
Yes.
You haven't come up with a title yet. You're working on that too.
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's a labor of love. It brings up a lot of everything. Okay, all the positives and the negatives, you know, it really is for every kid who ever wanted to was afraid to try.
I'm gonna have a final question. Would you do it again?
Absolutely. It filled my heart to have 80,000 people chant your name. Do you know what that means? You're doing a hell of a job. You're an impact player. You can turn things around. And I never failed at it. I was always there when they needed me. I was there. Okay. Here's a closing statement. When I was honored at home, I realized that, I'm in every Hall of Fame except the NFL. And so when I went in, they had a night, and what I call no ordinary Joes. I had Joe Ferguson, Joe DeLaMalore, Joe Chifa, Joe Namath. I called them all and I asked them to do me a favor, okay, and say something. I didn't ask them to come in, but say something so that like it's a recording and they could play it. Every one of them did that for me, and I am just they ingratiated themselves to me forever, okay, by doing that and assessing my play and the respect that we mutually had, okay.
Well, anybody who spends 5 minutes with you know that you had to have been a great teammate because you're a great guy, you wear your emotions on your sleeve a little bit, which is what everybody loves about you. Everybody loves, and maybe that's an Italian thing, right? You think
it's
maybe
an Italian
thing. Yeah.
You know, if you talk with your hands, the feet follow.
Lou, it's been great having you on. We'll have you back. You got so many stories. I don't know how many you'll be able to share in a book. But we're going to, first of all, if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and you'll see every week somebody comes out and we'll have Lou back on. And now go enjoy a great plate of spaghetti, maybe spaghetti parm. Or I know you love chicken livers here at Chef's Famous Italian Restaurant.
That's my wife's favorite, but I also adopted that because I never had a chicken liver until she brought it in. She brought it up,
All right, buddy. Enjoy. Thanks so much.
Bobby, and thank you for having me, and it's been a pleasure. Going back that far.
Yep.